DIY.
It's a general DIY segment today with Angelo D'Ambrosio of IPMT Remedial Building Consultants. Always great to have you with us.
Hello, Pippa. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks.
I'm
and
yourself? Glad to see you survive the last couple of days.
I've been whinging too much, haven't I, Angelo? Thanks for coming in. And Angelo's here a week earlier than you'd normally hear him because he's off on a very big adventure this time next week. Remind us, you are heading to Russia to climb Mount Elbrus.
Elbrus. Yes.
Which is how
excited. High? 5,000, just under 5,700 meters. So if you took Table Mountain from Camps Bay Beach to the top, approximately five times.
Okay. Well, given the signal issues we were having, we weren't that confident that we'd be able to talk DIY from the top of a mountain next Thursday. So Andrew's popped in a week earlier, but we will please chat to you at some point during the adventure to find out more about it. For now, any topic welcome today. You can ask on absolutely any DIY challenge. Get dialing, please, on 021-446-0567. We're going to start with an email that came in from Eve, and it's your favorite topic, painting. Eve wants to paint what she describes as my tiny bath and shower area. I'd like to paint instead of applying tiles. What should I use? Hopefully with a gloss finish. I have seen a Plascon paint recommended for kitchens and bathrooms, but it has a matte finish. What would you recommend for Eve?
Well, first of all, Eve, one has to make sure it's clean. Okay. So you would have to clean your tiles. I like to give it both a chemical and a mechanical adhesion process. So in other words, a paint that adheres, as well as a bit of physical work like sandpapering it slightly, just to get a nice mechanical bond. Okay. And then there are Plascon have, Dulux have, they all have these super grip type of products that are primer that allow the coating to bond to the tile.
I'm not sure if there are tiles underneath or if it's bare wall. Her wording was, I want to paint the shower area instead of applying tiles.
Ah.
So I think she's starting from raw wall.
Okay. Well, that's fine. Then, I mean, that's even better. Obviously, allow it to dry and then put a primer on. You could use a general plaster primer. Once that's dry, and you need to remember that's generally solvent. You do also get a water-based one, but the general one is solvent. Allow that to dry. And then apply your top coats on. Now you could use, I mean, she was talking about Plascon. You could use something like Wall and All, Double Velvet, which has a bit more of a sheen. Okay. Mm-hmm. The trick is to allow it to cure properly.
Okay.
Because if you don't, and you've painted in the morning, and the next day you go and, or the next evening, that evening you go and decide you want to have a bath.
Mm-hmm.
You could have a bit of surfactant leaching, which is the moisture sits on the paint and it runs dry and it draws some of the additives out.
Oh.
And that's what people sometimes get in their bathrooms and they look at it and they go, why is my paint so streaky? Well, it's not streaky. It's because it hadn't cured properly. And,
Before you started using the bathroom.
Yeah.
Okay. So Eve, patience is the virtue in
but
this particular case.
She did say small bathroom.
Mm.
So one would then think carefully about the color as well.
Okay.
Because a lighter color gives the
impression
of space. And a darker color could make it smaller. One thing that definitely makes it smaller is if you paint the ceiling white and the walls a different color, because then you've got a break.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you use the same color throughout, it actually gives you a perspective or an impression of being in a bigger area.
Okay, so stick to one color for ceiling and walls and preferably make it a lighter color if you want to create the impression of more space, even though it actually isn't there.
Perfectly said.
There we go. Eve, good luck. Send us some photographs when the job is done, if you like. And I hope that hits the nail on the head, as it were. Now, speaking of the nails, we've got rusty nails up for our next question. Anonymous sending a WhatsApp asking about getting rid of old building materials. And I know we've spoken about this before, particularly about getting rid of old paint. But this is an interesting one. He or she, they are wanting to know about disposing of old building materials. In this case, it's old Chromadec roof sheeting, which has rusted. They're going to replace it and want to know what to do, firstly, with the old sheets and secondly, with the old rusted roof nails, which will come out in the process.
Okay, so I have a big issue with us throwing away things, especially if it's Chromadec and rusted. Yes, it might be rusted, but it could be patched. And give it away. Someone can use it. You know, there's a lot of shacks, for example, that could use more sheeting. So to me, that's always the best thing to do. And I know people that are willing to collect it, they will come in and they'll take it away from you. And, you know, if it's got a bit of rust, they'll patch it and they'll do what they can.
Someone else might be prepared to put in the elbow grease to remove it. Yeah.
So rather give it away than simply throw it away. Okay. That's first of all. Secondly, the rusted screws. Well, it depends how many you got, but you know, generally, if you're taking it off yourself or if the roofing contractor is putting it in, they will get rid of it for you. They will collect all of it, and they have special places where they go and discharge or, or dump the material. When I say dump, they get rid of it
in the correct
process, manner.
Okay. Seeing as I mentioned the paint, we've spoken about it before, but just remind listeners, the same applies to paint. If you're sitting with half a tin of old paint in your garage, you're doing a clean out, please don't pour it down the drain.
No.
Rather look for an NGO, a shelter of some kind, whether it's a women's shelter, an animal shelter, if that's something you're passionate about, a school nearby, an educare center. Your half a tin of paint, which is worth nothing to you, could really mean the difference in brightening up the classroom for a child, for example.
Sure.
So look for what is in your area, look for places that could make use of it and pass it on to them.
And a trick, when you're finished, okay, if you're wanting to keep your paint, let's say you've got 5 liters and you want a bit of touch up, close the tin, make sure the lid is secured properly, then invert it. Once you've inverted it, no oxygen can get in, and it doesn't go off.
So store it upside down.
Store it upside down. Please just make sure.
Just seal it properly. I'm having visions.
And that will help it. That could slow down the process of it getting, having a lot of bacteria and starting to smell. Because if you ever opened a tin of paint and it stinks, sure.
Okay.
So that will help that. And then if you're not going to use it, guys, please, there's always someone who will use it.
Who will make use of it, yeah. Okay, thanks for that. Let's go to the lines and say hello to Quinita, who's given us a call from Ottery. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Papa. Good afternoon, and good afternoon, Angelo. I wish you well with your mammoth task next week.
Thank you.
Of you. Yeah. I have damp in about 3 bedrooms. We're replacing roof sheets. It's an outside house with new sheets. Now, to prevent that from happening and the damp coming in again, please explain to me what I need to get rid of the damp and the method thereafter.
Okay. That's a kind of a difficult one because you're saying you got damp. I'm assuming that by replacing the roof sheets,
it's coming from the top.
You're assuming it's coming from the top.
The top, yes.
Okay. So first things first, once you've replaced the roof sheets,
yes,
you're going to have to let it dry for a while because it's probably still wet.
Right.
And no matter what you do, there's going to be residual water in the wall, and that will affect your coating. Okay.
So
what you can do is scrape it off and leave it for a little bit. Let it dry a bit. Okay? Get the air through the room. Allow it to breathe a bit, and that will help the drying process.
Okay.
Right. Then once you've left it for a while, a trick is to stick a piece of cling wrap with masking tape over the entire section.
Yes.
And leave it for 2 days. When you take it off, if there are water droplets behind it, then there's still moisture in the wall.
Okay.
Then you do that for a while until there's no moisture coming through. And then you can paint it with a primer and a 2 top coats. And it's probably better to get a more breathable matte type of coating, one with less plasticizer in, that will allow for breathing.
Would you recommend anything?
There are various. There are various manufacturers that do breathable coating. Dulux have a breathable coating. Prominent paints have a breathable coating.
Okay.
So there are a lot of them that do have breathable coatings.
Okay. Sorry, Angelo.
Mm-hmm.
So once we apply the breathable coating, then I can do whatever paint. Is it necessary for the paint after that coat?
Well, the beauty is the breathable coating tinted to your color is your finish.
Oh, wow.
Mm. Okay.
Good.
But you have to make sure that it's dry.
It's dry. Okay, I'm with you.
Awesome.
Good luck, Quinita.
Thanks so much. Thanks, Papa.
Thanks for your call. Have a wonderful afternoon and good luck with the project. We'll take some more calls on 021-446-0567.
Pippa Hudson on Cape Talk. Call Pippa on 021-446-0567.
That is the number to dial with your DIY questions on absolutely any topic today. A question on the SMS line to 31567, or you can leave a voice note on 072-567-1567. Similar to the question from Eve, this person wants to know, is it possible to paint over floor tiles? And if so, which products to use and how durable would it be?
Okay, so yes, you can. There are various. You could use an etch primer, which is a twin pack product. But again, make sure your floor is clean. Guys, floors are high traffic areas, especially in bathrooms. Okay, so you need to make sure that once and understand that once you've coated it, it becomes a maintenance item. It's not something that you paint and you forget. You have to maintain it. So you could etch it, you could prime it, and then put a coating on of your. But then over that, you would need to do something like a polyurethane, which would give you a glass type of finish, and it gives durability. Okay, you do get polyurethanes in color as well. So, but they are fairly limited in color. But yeah, that's the way to do it. So you could clean it, etch it with something like etch primer, which is a translucent yellow green. Paint manufacturers also have specific primers, like I mentioned earlier, that are made for tiles. So you could do that as well. And then over that, you apply the color that you want, either in a polyurethane finish or in a PVA. And then over the PVA, you would put a clear varnish.
Okay,
clear,
so it's a multi-layered job, but that will sort you out then for good longevity on the job.
Well, again, traffic. You know, if it's one person, you're going to have a longer lifespan than if you've got 10 people in the house.
Okay, fair enough. A question on the SMS line, and I'm not sure how good you are with slate, Angelo, but the question is, how do I maintain a slate floor on a regular basis?
In terms of cleaning?
General maintenance, yeah.
Well, there's Tile and Floor Clear have a slate cleaner, and you could use that. Just get the brochure or get the product, read it. I don't know exactly what you're wanting to maintain, if it's just cleaning. Otherwise, a little bit of sunlight, soap and water, boom, mix it, wash your floor with it, clean it. But if you want to seal it, then go to
Tile and Floor Care range. And is that available in all major
Most tile companies,
tiling companies,
yes, and you can get it in a hardware store. They do sell in hardware stores.
Okay, good luck to you. Let's go back to the lines and say hello to Amanda in Gardens. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I've got a lead covered framed mirror for a bathroom, so it's covered in lead, but we put a little cup down it, like a toothbrush cup, and it's left a little white mark. And I don't know how to clean it. It's actually, you know, it's very popular to have lead flashings, but you don't often have that as a finish on a little shelf. And I wondered what I can use to clean it. Somebody's recommended caustic soda, and I don't know if that's going to work. Sure. I'd love some advice.
Caustic soda is quite dangerous.
Stuff to be careful with. Yeah.
You know, you could try. So again, I'm not sure what's caused the white mark, whether it's moisture or something on the brush or the toothbrush. One would have to
look. Moisture. Yeah, it's like a little white mark, like a rim of a cup, and somebody put a toothbrush down, and there's a little white mark on that. I've now covered it with a little loose glass, but I'd like to get the marks off the lid.
Okay, so you have caught me. I've never had to do that on a lead. You know, as you say, lead was used for flashing, and that was generally overcoated in time. So. Yeah. To get it back, I'm going to have to try and do some research for you.
All right, Amanda, what we'll do is this. Firstly, I'll say if anybody listening has a solution for Amanda, please phone and share it with us, and I'll relay it to her. But Amanda, otherwise, I am going to put you back to my producer, Angelo, who will take your details. We'll get Angelo to do a bit of research, and we'll get that back to you. And Angelo, if you have time before you go.
No, I'll make
a plan.
See
if you can find something. Just drop it to me in an email, and I'll share it with Amanda and the other listeners in the DIY segment next week, if that works for you. Thanks very much for the question. Another SMS saying, please tell me what primer and paint to use on galvanized steel, both old and new.
Okay, so new, generally after they've got a film layer on it that comes with the product when they've galvanized it. And if it's standing for 6 months and that layer is generally gone, then I would use a galvanized iron primer and a metal primer as well, or an etch primer, and then from there use an undercoat and then your top coat, whichever one you're wanting to do. The new stuff that comes out with this film, you have to wash first. And they've got a pre-galvanized iron cleaner, it's called. You brush it on and you wash it off with water, and that gets rid of the film. Because if you don't get rid of that film, the coating will come off. So wash it with that, and then you apply the same products that we've just discussed.
Okay. Thanks so much for the question. We can take a few more. Either call us on 021-446-0567 or send an SMS to 31567. William, it's another painting question from William. He wants to paint his kitchen cabinets so that they have that nice seamless sprayed-on enamel finish, is his wording, but he doesn't have a spray gun. His question is, how can I achieve that effect? Can I achieve it without a spray gun, or do I need to hire one? And if so, where do I hire one?
Okay, so we don't know what his cupboards look like.
Made of, no.
And what they look like. So if they're just flat, you can use, if you use something like a non-drip enamel type of a Valvaglow product, okay, that if you roll it on with the correct roller, will give you a very smooth finish. Okay. If you brush it on because you've got angles or recesses or little moldings, you don't really get your roller in there. So you need to do it with a brush. Okay. I find the longer hair brush will give you more of a smoother finish as opposed to a short haired type of brush. Okay. And then just finish it with the roller again, just to try and give you that sort of seamless finish. It is kind of difficult to do, especially if you aren't used to working with brushes or with rollers. Mm. It can get kind of difficult to do, but that type of product will give you, because it's almost self-leveling to a degree, will give you that type of finish.
Okay, thanks so much. Here's an interesting question that possibly should have come in last week when we had Bamboo Warehouse with us, but we'll give it a go anyway. Sarah wants to know, what is a good treatment for bamboo flooring, which is looking a bit worn? Would you use the same products that you'd use for a hardwood floor, or does it need to be treated differently?
Well, remember, it's composite, so it's made differently. It's got different, its makeup is totally different. The ceiling of the bamboo floors, well, are we talking inside flooring?
I'm assuming so, yeah.
I'm going to have to get hold of Graham and find that. I'm afraid bamboo is one of those things I'm still learning.
Okay, and again, if there is a listener who already has the bamboo floors and has been through the process and can tell us off the top of their head, please just send an SMS now to 31567. Another SMS asking, is there a clear masonry primer? I would like to paint my exterior bagged bricks with a slightly see-through dark paint, so white primer won't work.
Okay, you can use something called bonding liquid, okay? But be very careful with bonding liquid. It absorbs in, but it's only got about a 48-hour UV stability range. In other words, if you leave it for longer than that, it's going to start breaking down, okay? And then, of course, one also needs to be very careful because it absorbs differently into the brickwork. So where it doesn't absorb that much, you're going to have a higher sheen level than where it's absorbed. But you can use bonding liquid.
Okay. Tony on the SMS line says, we had our bath resprayed around 10 years ago, and it's looking grubby again. My question is, can a previously sprayed bath be resprayed again?
I don't see why not, as long as your prep work is done. And remember, your coating is only as good as the underlying coating. So if it's starting to peel and flake, well, then you're going to have to get rid of the coating that's coming off first. But if it's solid
and it's just grubby, then there's no reason.
There's no reason why not.
Just remember to protect the plug hole. And I say that with very bitter personal experience. Remember to protect the plug hole. Okay. Let's squeeze in one last call, I think, from Cinti in Edgemead. Good afternoon.
Good day. I would like to know, is there any other paint that I can use in the place of chalk paint? Because I've got a shop and I do a lot of painting white.
Now, I'm glad you mentioned chalk paint, because we had an email that came in earlier today from Eve, who was asking about chalk paint by Annie Sloan, saying how much she loves it and that you can paint absolutely anything on it.
Yeah.
It's quite a universal. It's a lime-based coating, if I'm not mistaken. But there are other lime-based products available on the market that give you that sort of mottled type of look. I'm not sure what you're wanting to do with the coating.
No, I've got a shop and I paint the furniture with it, but a chalk paint is very expensive.
Yeah.
Well, those type of coatings would be, because they're not sort of mass-produced decorative type of coatings for homes, etc. So they would be on the more expensive side. Mm. You know, Earthcoat's got a product like that. Builders Warehouse would have a product similar to that as well. So there are a number of manufacturers that make these lime-based coatings. You'd need to compare, because you know, the costing, and I know that these type of coatings also come in 5-liter drums, which might make it more cost effective for you.
Yes. Oh, so I'm of liters. Line-based.
Yes, generally that will work. Yes. But remember, they're quite porous, eh? So greasy fingers and stuff like that can dirty your furniture.
Yes, okay, but thank you very much.
No problem.
Thank you for the call, Cynthia in Edgemead, and that's where we must wrap up. Angela, great to have you with us as always.
Thank you.
And good luck, bon
thank
voyage,
you.
And safe travels to the top of your mountain in Russia.
Appreciate
Look forward to
it.
Talking to you from the top, perhaps.
I'll do my best.